For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan. I'm Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe and bostonglobe.com. This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Today on the Patriots Report, in the wake of the Celtics winning their 18th title, we talk about what it's like to win a championship in Boston, how your life changes, and what the players on that roster can expect moving forward. We also talk about Tom Brady night, put a capper on Drake May's first minicamp, and learn a little bit more about what Chris has been up to since his playing days ended. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, let's start here. Tuesday, June 18th, the day after, the morning after, the Celtics win their 18th championship. And I'm curious from a player's perspective, and I get it's, you know, different players, different sports, different teams. You won two of them here in New England. What is going to be different about their lives this morning? What's going to be different about Jason Tatum's life? How do things change both, you know, when you're talking about the game itself and then maybe away from the game, how you're received in the city of Boston and just kind of in the NBA in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost as a player, it probably hasn't even sunk into all of them. And I can't even imagine, you know, listen, football is a long season, but basketball and these some of these other sports, they have incredibly long seasons. You're playing so many games on the road, all over the place. When it finally sinks in, I think it's just it's a tremendous accomplishment, you know, to win at any level, to win a championship at any level in any sport. Obviously, it's an accomplishment. I think doing it in the city of Boston, it's a special place to win a championship just because of the sports fans that the city of Boston has, you know, essentially all over the country, right? And they travel so well, and there's going to be this enormous parade for these guys, and there's going to be millions of people that are going to pack these streets and just show their support and their love for these guys, right? That they've been behind for the entire year, and they've had an awesome team. So, and you just don't know, like, this team might not be together next year, and essentially could be a completely different team next year. So I think from a player perspective, you really just try to enjoy the moment, right? Enjoy the parade, enjoy the parties or whatever comes after this. Obviously there's going to be, you know, endorsement deal, you know, stuff. People are going to come after you, right? Like, you just won a championship. Like, there's going to be so many opportunities for you to go this place and make this and do that. And I think it's important to, you know, obviously do those things if you want to do them, but also, you know, spend the time with your family, man. I mean, the ones that have been supporting you through this entire season, and enjoy that, enjoy it with them, right? Because they're living this thing too. They weren't out there physically playing, but, you know, I remember after 2017, we won in Atlanta, or we beat Atlanta, we won in Houston, and my wife was not able to come because she was, you know, 8 months pregnant with twins. And, you know, she was obviously pretty bummed about that, but we got home and I was like, listen, there's a parade tomorrow. She's like, And she literally was in the car like that morning driving up, and she was on the parade. She was on the boat. Like, she didn't miss it. Right. It was unfortunate that she was not unfortunate. Like, listen, my kids were born a month later, and, you know, we played it. We had to be smart about it, but, you know, I was so happy that I was able to share the parade moment with her, the days after with her, where, you know, she was just as much a part of that entire season with me, you know, as all my teammates were, you know, obviously in a different way, but, you know, she was there and I got to celebrate with them and her and do all those different things. So listen, man, it's a special thing to win a championship. So very, very happy for the city of Boston and for the Celtics. Congratulations to all those guys. I hope that they enjoy it and just understand that there's going to be a few weeks of just probably complete chaos, and then close the yearbook on to next year.
Back to it. Back in the gym. I'm curious, in you guys didn't get a chance in the final moments of Super Bowl 51, but Super Bowl 53, you knew with like a minute or so left on the clock, you guys were gonna win. And last night they had, you know, it was a blowout, and so they had some time as the clock was ticking to zero to really kind of sink it in. You saw Jason Tatum kind of break down a little bit. Yeah. You saw a range of emotions from the guys. For a player, what's that like when you know that, yeah, you know, there's like the time is ticking down and you know you're going to be a champion in those moments? Is there excitement, anxiety, reflection? What did you feel?
There's zero anxiety, I'll tell you that much. I think it's just this wave of emotions that just comes over you. And, you know, you just, if obviously, I mean, for players that get to that point multiple times in their career, I can't say that the emotions are what like ever changes. But for someone, let's just say for your first one or your first championship or your first experience, you dream about this, right? This is what you dream about as a kid, playing in a championship game, winning a championship at that level in the professional league. And you go back. Like, I mean, for me, it was, I mean, listen, we won our first one. The emotions that went through my brain in probably a matter of 30 seconds was just, was insane, just because we won. First of all, I knew we were going to win with that play. And then when it happened, it was just like, oh, man, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, you know, just because it's so, you work so damn hard to just get to this point. And I think there's just, it's, you're happy, right? You're emotional just because it's something that you've looked forward your entire life as when you started playing sports. You get to share it with all your teammates that you've been through, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and all the stuff that you've been through together, training camp, to whatever, you know, all the practices, all the lifts, all the ups and the downs, getting through adversity. And then, you know, it all just kind of comes to this point, right? And you get to win a championship. And I think there are probably there's no sad tears, but happy tears are definitely a real thing. And it's just that it's almost indescribable, that emotion that you feel. I mean, I can only say, like, listen, when I played in my first one and we won a championship, and the way that we won, we could have blown them out. I think I would have still felt the same way. It was just, you know, you want to share it with every single person on that team, you know, and you want to just, that's what I remember. I remember just seeing everybody and it just being like, just the same reaction, one after the other, just like, just pure, it's just pure happiness, man. I mean, you work again, like, you put so many hours in preparation into playing this game, and then you finally get to play in a game that there is no tomorrow, and it's the most important one, and you get to win a championship, and you know, you get to, that's something that you can carry with you for the rest of your life. And I think that's probably one of the cooler things about playing in a championship at, you know, at a professional level.
I remember covering, I covered all the Super Bowls. I covered all six Super Bowls, but I have a picture that I sent to you of you in the locker room with Slater and the trophy. And I'm glad that you bring up the phrase just pure happiness, because the look on your face was just like, the smile could not have gotten any bigger. Yeah. And it took me to last night where you saw the level of emotion from those guys. And it's just, there's a sense of, I always think of the Bill Parcells quote. It's like, you know, for the rest of your lives,
yep,
you're going to have that staple to your resume. No one can tell you that you're not a champion. To be able to see guys like Tatum and Brown and Horford, who played a million years in the league and had, you know, had yet to win a championship.
Yeah.
There's a level of gratification. I have a feeling for any athlete, but for an athlete who's been in the game for a while, to be able to kind of cross that finish line and have that on your resume, to have the period at the end of the sentence, the exclamation point saying, look, now I'm a champion, has got to be incredibly gratifying.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the guys that, like, you know, that had amazing careers, right? But they always, like, they're always the one dig at all these guys. How many championships you got, right? You know, Randy, right? He's up there. Why couldn't, in the roast, right? Why couldn't we cheat when I was here? You know, like, but like, guy that's a Hall of Fame receiver and, you know, never won a chip. And that's not dimming what he did as a player. Mm. But like, those guys, I mean, that's what they live for, man. I mean, like, he would have probably killed to get in, like, to win a championship. And I think for guys like Horford, I mean, you never know if you're going to get back to that moment. Listen, I was very fortunate to play on a team that went to 3 Super Bowls 3 years in a row. I mean, that doesn't happen, right? And we won 2 of them, lost 1 of them, but like, I still went to 3 of them. And those are things I will never forget for the rest of my life. You know, to the day that I'm, you know, my time on this earth ends, I'm going to be talking about those games and those rings and those teams, just because they leave such a mark, you know, in, you know, on you as a person, just because those are special teams. You know, you're never going to, I guarantee you're never going to talk to someone who wins a championship and they're not going to talk about the type of team that they had that year. Mm-hmm. Right. Where everyone clicked, everyone got along with each other. Everyone supported each other. We all held each other accountable. There was no me guys. There was no just, I'm going to do my own thing and just get stats. Like, everyone was just all about winning. And I think at any level, if you ask someone who won a championship, that's going to be part of the conversation. And for me, it was always part of the conversation. Those were amazing teams that I was on.
I'm glad you bring up the quotes from Randy Moss, because I kind of want to shift gears a little bit to the Brady night.
Yeah.
That they just had at Gillette Stadium. I was curious to get your thoughts. It felt appropriate. And going back to the basketball line of thinking, Larry Bird had a night at the old Boston Garden,
mm-hmm,
to kind of commensurate with his level of contribution. And it felt like this worked for Tom.
Yeah. I mean, wish I could have been there. We had a big karate night. We were moving up in belt class, so I needed to be there to support my son, but followed it along. And I think, I mean, knowing Mr. Kraft, right? I mean, he spares no expense for his guy, and he deserved everything that happened then that night. I mean, I thought, I got chills when Jay-Z was coming out and he was playing the song. I was like, oh man, this is intense. Yeah, seeing all those guys come back and obviously be there for supporting Tom. I think what was really cool was Bill's entrance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that I said he was going to come back.
You did. You did.
And so I was happy to, you know, see that come true. But his reception from the fans and from every, I mean, I seemingly it was the standing ovation was going to go on for the next hour if they let it.
Yeah.
But I think that just, like, you know, I think we talked about it before we started. It just, that kind of ties this whole thing up of what Bill meant to this city, right? Mm-hmm. To this team, to this organization. Like, yeah, did the last couple of years kind of not go his way but did it tarnish what people think of him and how they feel about him? I mean, absolutely not. I mean, there were that his reception that night was just, is exactly what you would think it would be. There was nothing but love, man.
There was a really nice, the phrase that I kept coming back to was there was a great sense of closure there.
Yeah.
Because you really didn't get that the last regular season game. It was miserable. It was snowing. Mm-hmm. People had left. They were losing to the friggin' Jets. It didn't feel like the way to end that relationship. In the other night, I know it was about Tom and Tom's contribution and, you know, honoring him. But at the same time, it just tied a nice little bow on Belichick's career here in New England. Everyone can kind of move forward. And I'm guessing it's going to lay the foundation, figuratively, for a Belichick statue one day down the road.
Yeah. I mean, it's well-deserved. Mm-hmm. It's well-deserved. I could, you know, you couldn't think of another person that, you know, would deserve that sort of recognition for what he did for an organization for, you know, over two decades. And it was very cool to see. I mean, the whole night was very cool. Yeah. You know, obviously, like, they, you know, all the people that came up and talked and told stories about Tom and the type of person. And I think what's really cool is that most of these people are not, they were talking about the football player, but they were talking about the man. Yeah. And like, that's like always something that I always talk about. Oh, what's Tom Brady like? What's Tom? Like, dude, he's a great football player, but let me tell you something. Like, this dude is just one of the guys. And like, he's a friend. He's a teammate. He's a dad. He's just one of these guys that you can talk to and he'll listen. Right. And he'll give you advice and he'll be that guy. That's something that, like, to me, when I first met him, you know, obviously he knew me by my first and last name and introduced himself as Tom Brady. I'm like, you know, I think we've talked about this before, and you know, that's just the type of guy that he was, man. He knew every single person in that stadium, every single person, managers, equipment staff, practice squad, training, front office, like probably knows all of you guys by first name. Like, it's just, that's the type of guy that he was, man. I mean, you want to talk about his football legacy? That's great. He's a Hall of Famer. He should go in the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Right. Because he's the greatest of all time. But you want to talk about the type of man that he was and the type of person and teammate that he was. That's special. You know, this guy was loved by everybody and he was a winner. And whether you loved him, but you respected him if you were on the opposing team. Right. Like,
yeah,
you might have hated him, but you damn sure respected him for the type of person that he was.
He was disarming. I always tell people that you see him and you see Tom Brady in capital letters and, you know, 50 feet tall neon, but the way he speaks, at least the way he communicated, you know, for a long, long time on a regular basis with the guys in the locker room, you could walk up to him and ask him a question, whatever the case may be. It was disarming the way he would look you in the eye and address you. And I, you know, that's a bit of a rarity these days among a lot of athletes where they don't look you in the eye. He would look you in the eye and he would address you directly. One more question on the statue thing. I know that they have one in Miami for Shula and Marino. They have one in Green Bay for Curly Lambeau and Vince Lombardi. And so it feels like it's appropriate. And I'll also say, too, I'd be willing to bet you we're going to get a Robert Kraft statue before it's all said and done, because there are owners out there who have built statues to themselves. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, while he's still with us, but yeah. I could see in that plaza there outside
the Hall of Fame.
Like, yeah. Outside the Hall of Fame, right there, you get three statues. And then that feels like people were like, well, they should build one to Gronk and they should build one. Let's cap it at three.
Right. You know. Gronk, we could go on and on. There's a lot of good players, right? But these are guys that changed the face of football, right? And were talked about for years, and they're going to be talked about for years and years and years and years, for what they did for the game. And not taking away from all the other great players, but these guys were special. Yeah. And they were special to New England and to that organization, right? And so I think they deserve, you know, the statue, I think, would be a really cool thing. I guarantee you at some point there will be a Robert Kraft statue as well. I mean, all three of those guys. And you're going to mention New England, you're going to mention Robert Kraft, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick for many, 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 many years. until this team starts winning championships of their own without those guys.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So the guy who's charged with, at least as we sit here right now, with being the next guy, Drake May, just finished up his first offseason with the Patriots, just finished up minicamp, was part of a group that just finished up minicamp. For me right now, it's mid-June and he hasn't taken a significant snap yet, but he has done well. He has done well with the performative aspects of the job, showing up for charity things, and he was there at Tom Brady night, and he's saying all the right things, and he's doing all the right things on the field. He's getting in and out of the huddle quickly.
Yeah,
he is looking efficient. He is now taking reps ahead of Bailey Zappe, and so we're seeing Jacoby Brissett as the number one, Drake May as the number two. How many games do you think he's going to play this year? That's the debate up here, at least when you're talking about him moving forward into the 2024 season. I had him at about five. I don't know if that's too conservative, but it feels like we're careening toward Jacoby Brissett starting the year, but Drake May at some point over the course of the 2024 season, because he's coming on, we're going to see him before this is all said and done.
I think, over the last couple months, I've been thinking about it. I think that I'm leaning more towards your way of thinking here. I think Jacoby is probably what they're going to go with. And I think Drake's playing time is going to be dictated on how Jacoby plays, right? I don't think that there's going to be a situation. If Jacoby's playing lights out, we're not going to change it up, right? But if he's out there and, there are some struggles, or there's, some games that he struggles a lot, then the conversation begins. Now it's like, okay, is it time to let Drake play? Right. So I think you got to be careful with it. You don't want to throw a rookie into a bad situation and then set him up for failure. We've seen it time and time again for guys that just like, it just ruins their career, and it just ruins their confidence, and that's something that you don't want to do. But at the end of the day, these guys he's got to be a professional, and he's got to learn how to deal with the ups and downs and just continue to grow this year. But I think for Jacoby, it's, I would try to knock this elephant out of the room pretty quickly and just be like, hey, man, this is your job. All right.
He's done a great job with that whenever we've asked him about that. He's been very deferential to Drake, and he understands, look, this is going to be, he's going to be the guy moving forward. I'm the guy now, but he's going to be the guy moving forward.
Yeah, I think, like, if I'm Gerard, I'm just say, hey, we're going to training camp. Jacoby, you're number one. You're a starter. Drake, you're number two. You prepare as a starter. You prepare as you're playing every single game. And that's how we're going to go into the season. And then we just have to listen. We can't just like push the panic button the second that Jacoby throws an interception or we lose a game. Like that's not the right way of thinking or going about this. And I know everyone's going to want a kid. We want Drake. We drafted Drake third overall. Like, I get it. But like, just listen, man, there's a long-term play here. We are not totally built to win right now, but we are putting the right people in place. We've drafted the right people. We've gotten some talent around these guys, and there's got to be a process here to winning. So they have to be able to stick to their own process and trust their own process. And I think that they have the right guys, you know, at the helm here to kind of do all of that. And then, you know, kind of see what happens over the course of the season. If there's a chance that Drake wants to play, or hey, like we find ourselves up, you know, and there's a chance for him to play or come in and just get some reps. Whether, dude, just hand the ball off, just get him in the game. Let him hand the ball off 30 times, right? Or to close out a game. Like, that's like, may not seem like nothing, but it is something, right? And that's real live bullets, reps, taking snaps in a real game, calling out the huddle, calling out the plays, and just get him a little bit of momentum. And then, you know, we see what happens. I think, you know, I couldn't put a number on it, how many games he's going to play. I couldn't.
Okay. How much of that decision going from Jacoby Brissett to Drake May is going to depend on the rest of the offense? Because I think you can make a case that, look, I don't want to put my rookie quarterback out there right now.
Yeah.
Right out of the, you know, start the season. And I know it's different for different. I know Caleb Williams is going to be the guy in Chicago, and I acknowledge that. But when you sit here and you think about this offensive line, you think about the skill position players around him, you think about the uncertainty with this offense,
yeah,
I have no problem letting Jacoby Brissett start the season, even if Drake May is lights out all summer.
I mean, but he probably will be. Like, listen, he's going to be scripted for success in training camp. They're going to want to see this kid do good. So it's like, okay, cool. These are the plays that we're running 7-on-7. These are the plays that we're running. Like, I know how this goes in training camp. Yes, there are going to be competitive periods, and we will see how well he does in a 2-minute situation where there is no script and plays are just being called, or, you know, we're in a competitive red zone period and, you know, there is no script. Right. And now you have to deal with, hey, like Gerard is going to be super, super aggressive and send blitz zero and send the house every single play and see how he handles it.
Yeah.
Right. So like, there are going to be that stuff. That's where Jacoby's going to be able to kind of separate himself a little bit, just because he has seen it. He knows probably what to do. He's going to be a little bit more calm underneath pressure. And, you know, we're going to see why Jacoby should be the starter, right? I think that both of them are going to have great training camps. I think that all the skill position guys, I think they should really understand that these are the two, right? If you're taking reps with Drake or Drake's taking reps with Jacoby, like, these are our two guys. And obviously, we move closer to the season, we have to switch kind of, okay, Jacoby needs to get a lot of the reps with the first teamers. And so we have all the timing and all that kind of stuff. But I think you approach it from a team perspective and from all the guys on offense, like, these are our two guys. Mm-hmm. And we need to prepare, like, one or two of these guys are going to play in the game.
One of the other things that I thought of was that, barring injury, once you make that move to Drake May, again, barring injury, yeah, that's you can't go back.
No,
you can't go back. You can't, I don't know, put the toothpaste back in the tube, whatever phrase you want to use here. That's your guy moving forward. You can't and you can't get out there and have him lay an egg and then yank him and put Jacoby back in.
Right. I mean, you saw it. Like, listen, Zach Wilson's career in New York was a disaster because it was up and down. We pulled him. We started him. He's our starter. He's not our starter. It's like, as a quarterback, man, it's just like, does this team even want me out here? Do they even support me? And I don't think that, listen, I know it's Drott's first year, but I know that he's going to try to do this thing the right way. And if they put Drake out there, then we put Drake out there, and he's going to have to, you know, deal with the ups and downs. And hopefully he just goes out there and plays lights out. But we both know that there's going to be a time where kid goes out and throws 3 or 4 interceptions because it's just something he hasn't seen before. It's just a tough defense that they're playing against. And that's okay, man. Like, that's a lot. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that have gone out and done exactly what we're talking about, but they learn from it and they grow from it. And then they don't do it again. And it's like, that's just part of the game. So I think it just as long as the team is seeing his progression, fans and a lot of people on the outside looking in are not going to see it, but because they're not there every single day, they're not in practice. But in a game, all you want to see is this kid just making the right decisions and trying to get the ball in the right people's hands and just playing hard, right? I think that's probably what is going to overcome some of the lows, right? Where you get a guy like Baker does it all the time, man. I mean, he plays with energy, dude. I mean, he'll go out, throw four interceptions, but then the next possession, he's going to come out and try to run over a linebacker and get all pumped up. And people love that and the team loves that because you know that this guy cares. So as long as he's vocal and he's communicating, he cares and he's learning, I think the team is going to respect that. And I think the guys will respect that. And he'll, this year, next year, whatever, whenever he gets in the game, he's going to do well.
All right, last question for me this week. I want to ask you, and the question that I get the most from people when I tell them I do a podcast with Chris Hogan is, what is Chris Hogan up to these days? Tell me about your business, because we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Tell me about your business, what you're doing, and what you got coming up this summer.
Oh. So I opened up a gym in Long Island. This was my little passion project because my wife was tired of me playing golf 4 days a week. So I opened up a gym, got full physical therapy in here, recovery center. We do adult fitness. I got all the speed and strength training for all the athletes. I built it for athletes, right? My vision for this place was, I'm going to have athletes come in here and they don't have to go another place for physical therapy. They don't have to go to another place for recovery. It's all going to be underneath one roof. So it's been a lot of fun for me to grow this. And I have some great partners on the physical therapy side of things that we have a great physical therapist in here and hopefully to only grow into a few more. And we have all walks of life in here. What Chris Hogan is doing is teaching a 7 a.m. adult class every single morning on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And this is now my locker room. This is where I found, because that's something that I missed so much after I was done playing. You miss playing, you miss the lights, you miss Sundays, but that locker room vibe was something that I missed a lot, more than I thought I was going to. And so I come in here every single morning, and I teach an adult class and I have fun with it. We do tons of different things. So doing that. And then, obviously just four kids at home, just coaching lacrosse, coaching football, coaching basketball. I haven't gotten into coaching soccer yet. So I might leave that one for other people to do.
That's coming. That's coming, man.
But I've dove head on into the coaching thing. I've enjoyed it. My kids are getting to an age where they're enjoying sports, they're getting into it. I still have two little ones. I haven't really gotten into it, but I can only tell you that my life is going to get busier and busier as they get more into these things. And they're all finishing up school. I got kids going into second grade next year, one going into kindergarten, and another one going to preschool. So this week's all moving up ceremonies and graduation. And then we're going into the summer and I know they're looking forward to it. So, life is, and then my wife, she's full-time doctor. So, it's all good here on Long Island, but if you are in Long Island and you need a place to work out, Evolution Physical Therapy and Fitness, 7 a.m. This is the spot. Summer's going to be a lot of fun.
You got a website?
Yeah.
What are they? What can, let's put it on the screen. Tell people what it is.
It's, we got to do, it's Evolution Physical Therapy and Fitness, okay. Long Island. You'll be able to see where the location is. You can see all these pictures, saunas, cold plunge. I got everything. And then you can follow us on Instagram, Evolution Physical Therapy. Evolution Long Island is our IG handle. We got some really cool content going on right now. I just became an affiliate of this. Actually, you might be into this because you're a runner. Okay. Have you heard of this HYROX stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
So I just became an affiliate of HYROX. Okay. They just did one in New York. It's like, so I found out about this thing, this workout, and really it's pretty cool, right? It's not CrossFit. It's really for everyone. And I think it's going to become one of those benchmark things, like a marathon.
Okay.
Right? It's intense.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
I've heard it's very intense, but it's not CrossFit level intense.
It's not CrossFit level. You could absolutely do it. You have to be good. You have to be a runner, right? Mm-hmm. It's like workout, run, workout, run, workout, run. So it's a lot of running. But we just had an event this past weekend where we did like a mini version of it. You know, we had like 30 people out here and we did, it was a lot of fun. And I myself am getting into it because I need to improve my cardio since I've done playing. I haven't really done much of running since I've done playing. So I've gotten into it a little bit. I'm trying to become a runner in my post career life. So, you know, you'll have to come down here and next event that we have, you'll have to partake in it. It's a lot of fun, man. It's a community thing and it's huge in Europe. I mean, they're selling 20,000-30,000 tickets for these things. And New York, they sold out within minutes and I think there's going to be one in Atlanta. There's going to be one in Fort Lauderdale. I know they're having one like, you know, up north in in Toronto, I think. So they're all over the place and going to be something you can do it as a team. You could do it as a four way. You could do it with two people. You could do it as a single. So it seems to be a cool thing for that are people and that are getting involved into and something that everyone, I think you're going to get, it's kind of like, you know, you get those little bumper stickers when you complete your marathon.
26.2.
You get a nice little pat. Yeah, you got one? There it is.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So I may have one or two others lying around here somewhere.
Yeah. So you get a patch, you know, that says that you completed it and does all things. And so it's a good time. So that's something cool that we're doing over here. So if you're looking for a High Rocks gym in Long Island, this is the place to do it.
Well, you posted something on social media a while back of you either the gym or you working out. And I said, I took it and I said, my podcast partner can beat the shit out of your podcast partner. So kudos to you for embracing that next phase of your life, you know, go diving into the fitness end of it. You've always been a guy who's always taken pride in that, but to be able to do that, especially at this phase of your life, I think is particularly commendable. Chris Hogan, thank you very much, as always, for your time. Take care, and we will talk again very, very soon.
All right, brother.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder. This episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.